Happy 4th of July from Miki Couture. Celebrate Independence Day with the coziest, most luxurious blankets ever. Whether you're watching fireworks, having a picnic, or just relaxing at home, our blankets will keep you snug and stylish. Join us in making this holiday unforgettable with the comfort of Miki Couture. Wrap yourself in the best blankets ever and enjoy the warmth of freedom and comfort. Visit us at www.mikicouture.com or your nearest store today. Happy 4th of July from all of us at Miki Couture.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is up, Raider Nation? Your buddy Murph back once again for what we trust will be a fantastic episode of the Raiders Fan Radio Rundown. This is the road version, Jeff, if you will, of the rundown.
Absolutely. Well, you know, some of the OGs, they would call us that, they'd say we're tripping.
That's right. The RFR is tripping.
Yeah,
I like that. Yeah, let's go with RFR is tripping then instead. I like that.
The tripping rundown.
The tripping rundown. Oh, that's nice.
Hey.
Yeah. So welcome to the show. And we wanted to come and join you guys audibly. Well, I guess first, welcome my best friend and your swag, Jeff.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate that. Just hanging out here behind the wheel, and you know, whether you're, you know, sitting to my right or not, I'm normally talking Raiders to myself, to my steering wheel, you know, each and every, just because I can't get enough of it and want to talk about it and all that. So I'm fired up to talk about all sorts of stuff. We got, you know, I mean, it's the offiest of the off season, but we still got plenty of juice, as the kids say. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, and you know, some really exciting news, some unfortunate, you know, heartbreaking news, and all that stuff. We're gonna be all over the board today, pal.
Absolutely. Well, for those of you that are new to the show, my name is Murph, and we host this little thing called Raiders Fan Radio, and we take all of the advertising dollars, monetary donations, any of the merchandise sales, and we give that away to our foundation, which is the One Nation Foundation, and that provides giveaways, let me back that one up again. Start over on that one, Jeff. The One Nation Foundation provides monetary donations to Raiders-related charities. Our good friends at the Biletnikoff Foundation, our good friends over at Raider Dad. We've even given to Max Crosby. We've given to numerous other entities as well, sure, that are Raider-related. But those are the main ones that we partner up with nowadays. And so we appreciate your support. And so, yeah, the reason we wanted to come to you with an audio version of the podcast this week is that, Jeff, our audio numbers are really starting to take off, man. The old podcast is, it's like the old days, man. The audio version of the podcast is outpacing the YouTube show.
Absolutely, man. We're popping over here on the podcast, man. And you know, and I think it might just be because no one wants to see our faces. You know, they like what we got to say, but yeah, they don't like looking at us while we're doing it.
Yeah,
so, man. You know, so yeah, much respect.
So the money makers aren't really making it anymore.
They ain't making money. Yeah. They ain't making money, but no, hey, we can't thank you enough for everyone that joins in each and every week, you know, not only on the YouTube, but you know, our bread and butter is still, we're a podcast. And so, you know, any audio provider, iTunes, is it iTunes? No, it's Apple Music.
Apple Music and Google's
Play.
Going to YouTube Music now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's going to YouTube Music. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
So, iHeartRadio, Pandora, a lot of Spotify.
Spotify.
I think a majority now, if it's not Apple, our listeners are hitting us on Spotify. And so, yeah, we don't give enough love to our audio podcast listeners. So thank you guys so very, very much for your support of not only Raiders Fan Radio, but the One Nation Foundation. And just even by supporting us that way, it helps us generate advertising opportunities, which supports the foundation. So thank you. Also, Jeff.
Yes.
What we do here on the rundown, we actually talk about the Raiders.
Oh my gosh, it's
yeah.
about time.
Yeah, so let's talk about the Raiders. So first and foremost, let's kind of hit kind of the bad news that happened. This happened yesterday.
Yep.
We're recording on Monday, so Sunday. the passing of Jim Otto, and it didn't come from any outlets. It didn't come from like Schefter or like anybody like that. It was coming from fans, was the first. And so I'm always a little bit hesitant when I only see it coming from fans.
Yeah.
But then sure enough, I saw JT the Brick post about it, and I thought, okay, well, JT, anybody's gonna know it's gonna be JT. And man, just sad, you know. Man lived in obviously a long life, 86 years old when he passed. But we're gonna do on the main show, we're gonna do a proper audio tribute to Jim Otto. But in the meantime, just to give a couple thoughts on him is that, you know, for those of you that don't know, he's the very first draft pick of the Oakland Raiders, and a man that set the tone. You know, he was undrafted by the NFL, came into the AFL, you know, won three AFL championships, was the center, obviously, for all the Raider quarterbacks, including Kenny Stabler. You know, Jim's, I think, second to final snap in his career was the freaking Sea of Hands game.
Well, like, there you go.
You know, just an absolute legend on and off the field. And, you know, reminded me of Jeff when Willie Brown passed away.
Yeah.
It's not just sad because they were great players, and it's not just sad because they were great Raiders, but the way that the men like that embodied what it was to be a Raider for the remainder of their days. Like, it's, I have so much respect for that. And I think that as a fan, when we see stalwarts like Jim Otto, who was always at Raider events, or Willie Brown. I mean, Michelle and I ran into him after the game last year.
Sure did.
The last game of the season. You know, thankfully we got a chance to meet him. Sadly, he passes away here a few months later, just like freaking Daryl, when we met Daryl in December, and I believe he passed in March.
Yeah.
So anyways, so it's sad because I feel like it's almost like a part of fandom dies along with him. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, I don't know. It's sad for fans, again, not just because of the on-field and then the off-field, but then especially, I mean, he was the Raider. I mean, he was the first guy.
Yeah.
We talk a lot about how Al Davis built the mystique of the Raiders, right? And the way that he crafted it and
sure
everything. But Jim Otto was the first one to personify that on the field.
Yes.
Madden was the first coach to personify that and to form that mystique. And I'd say that as in terms of Raider mystique and lore, Jim Otto was probably the most valuable of all players, and right there neck and neck with Coach Madden as a second to Al Davis. Like, I think he embodied it that much and meant that much to the organization and to Raider Nation.
Yeah, 100%. I couldn't agree more, man. You know, I mean, for you to say he's 86 years old, and yeah, you saw him at the airport on the way back from the game. He was still going to Raider games. He's still supporting the silver and black. He's still doing all of those things. And, you know, so yeah, I couldn't agree more with what you said. As you know, he's the first ever Raider draft pick and stuff like that. And for him to live the silver and black as long as he did was just really, truly an amazing thing. And much respect to Mark Davis, who they put out a video.
Yeah,
probably was it last night or this morning or whatever that they put it out. And, you know, and you see a lot of Raider greats pass on. You see a lot of Raider greats, you know, unfortunately pass away.
Yeah,
they are. But you don't see the Raiders light the torch for every single one of those guys. But you see Mark Davis doing that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I really think, and much respect to Mark for doing that, because kind of like what you just said, you know, when it comes to Raiders, I mean, Jim Otto is on, like, he's the guy that kind of started creating the culture with Al Davis and with John Madden. You know, I mean, it's, you know, he was the last of the big three to go. And so respect to Mark for understanding that, that concept of, you know, hey, this guy needs to be sent out true Raider in peace style. And, you know, it was such a beautiful thing, you know, just a simple 15-second video that just, I mean, that means the world, not only to the Otto family, of course, but to everyone that is, you know, donned or currently donning the shield and all that.
I mean, you know, the Al Davis torch was built in, obviously, in memory of Al, And so then to immediately day after light Al's torch for Jim, like that speaks volumes, yeah, man.
It really
to how
does.
Important he was to the Raiders, you know, and much much love and respect to his wife Sally, who was so sweet to us when we met them, just this past a few months ago. You know, many prayers up for her and the family as they deal with loss. And you know, as you guys get older, I mean, look, we all have a date, but it's still sad to lose a loved one, and especially someone that was such a great man as we know Jim Otto was. You know, Al Davis inducted Jim Otto into the Hall of Fame in 1980. Like, that guy's been in the Hall of Fame longer than you've been alive.
100%.
You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy. And one of the things that he said he loved about Jim was about how he personified what it was to be a Raider, but he also kept in focus the three things that were most important to him. And it was his faith, his family, and then football. And he said, and Jim was always very clear about the order that he wanted Al to keep those in. And I just, like, that just, like, almost gives me chills, dude. Like,
yeah.
Because, like, we talk about that kind of stuff on the show, and you know, and it's a nice rule of thumb or whatever, not rule of thumb, but it's a good, I think it's a good standard for us to live our lives by. But this was in 1980, before Faith Family Football. And heck, maybe that whole Faith Family Football thing that's on Raiders merch, maybe that came from freaking Al's inspiration by Jim. Like, I'm telling you, man, I go on and on and on. That guy was just, I mean, he the legend of legends, dude.
Yep.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. So much Raider in peace, absolutely, to Jim Otto. And on the main show coming up here, not this week, but next week, we will definitely have a nice tribute going out to Jim Otto. So, rest in peace. All right, let's go. So let's go from the history of the Raiders, Jeff.
Yes.
Let's go to the future of the Raiders. But before we do that, let's give a little bit of a self-promo here.
Okay.
Okay. So OTAs have just begun. OTAs, obviously, the precursor to the off-season. What am I trying to say? Spring training.
Yeah.
And then ultimately the preseason. Well, the preseason schedule has now been announced.
Yes.
So we are going to be in Vegas on the 23rd for the game against the Niners.
Yes.
It's a night game, so it's not going to be stupid hot out in the parking lot. And why does that matter? Because that's when we're doing the Raider Dad tailgate.
Come on.
That's when we're meeting up with our buddy Josh Kamenite and all the amazing kiddos and their parental figures that Raider Dad is going to enable being able to attend the Raider game. And we will be out there to present. We've already made the donation, but we're going to present a check to the Raider Dad folks. And so for those of you that are interested in meeting up with us, pay attention to our RFR meetups page, which is on the Facebooks. And I believe you could just search for it by, I think it's Raiders Fan Radio Meetups or whatever.
Yeah, I think it is.
And that's our buddy Kevin the Raider Nerd runs that for us. And so, yeah, if you're going to be in town for that game and I want to link up with us, I'm sure we'll be easy to find. We'll be there in lot, is it J?
Yes.
Lot J. So yep. We'll be there in Lot J and hanging out. And so definitely swing on by, say hi, share a happy dad with us. And yeah, get some good food. Jay's Gourmet is out there.
Yeah.
Texas Roadhouse will be out there.
Yep.
Jay's Gourmet, those sausage sandwiches, dude. Oh, fire.
They're
bro.
Next level.
So
they're,
good.
Yeah, they're next level. And you know, the good folks at Woodson Whiskey are normally out there as well. So you can get a sample of the Chuck's
little
booze he's got going on there. So yeah, and Pepsi is out there for the little ones and stuff. So there's plenty of stuff going on and all that. And yeah, I can't wait to see everybody. Last year's event was big time. You know,
it was fun, man.
I think last year it was like 45 kids and their families got to go to that game at front, you know, on behalf of the One Nation Foundation and Raider Dad. And I think it's just going to be even bigger this year. I think he's already expecting much bigger numbers and stuff like that. So yeah, so come by, you know, let us, you know, high five you and all that good stuff. Yeah, we can't wait. And then, you know, and of course that just means the football's back.
You know what I like about the Raider Dad event is that, like, you know, we give the big check goes to the Biletnikoffs.
Sure.
And so we still gave $3,000 to Raider Dad. Well, this is your money, Raider Nation.
Yep.
This is from your generosity. And so if you want to see your money at work, That's great.
You literally
see it in play, these kids, and the looks on their faces and the fun they're having and the pride in the parents. And it's just freaking cool, man. It just makes you want to do more. At least it did me when we were there. It just made me want to do it bigger and better for them this year, and then do bigger and better even next year.
Yep.
So come on out, support the folks at Raider Dad, and then hang out with us. And it should be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, and then after the Raider Dad event, you know, of course, with the preseason game itself, which, you know, we'll probably have a little bit more of an idea of who's going to be playing what position, who's going to win those battles and stuff like that. But you rewind the clock back to now, you know, you're seeing a lot of the rookies in OTAs right now. You're seeing a lot of that kind of stuff. So
let's get into that
just a little bit. You know, I mean, you know, I haven't been paying as much attention to that right now. But you know, there's a lot of battles going on, a lot of positions that I'm really curious to see what's going to happen. Is there one that kind of is, you know, ingrained in your head right now is kind of the one to watch? You know, whether it be the rookies, whether it be the veterans, you know, what's a position that you're looking at?
I want to see what they're going to do at corner.
Corner.
Yeah,
okay.
I think corner's interesting. You know, it was kind of an adage for a long time that wide receivers and cornerbacks make their big jump in year two. Like, if they're going to jump, they're going to jump in year two. But then all of a sudden, we had this crop of freaking rookies that came around, and you had guys like CeeDee Lamb and, you know, you got Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase and all these guys, man, and they're just freaking balling out, like, immediately.
Gosh.
And so it's like, I think that the expectation in the minds of a lot of fans is that, like, oh, when you draft a wide receiver, they're supposed to come out the gate, swing it. They're supposed to be good.
Sure.
But the same thing is said to be for corner, that they were just like, you know, you get these guys like Patrick Surtain and these guys that come out, and they're immediately good. And so fans get in their head that, okay, these guys are going to need to be good rookies. So Ja'Corian Bennett caught handfuls of shit from Raider fans last year. Now, granted, he plays a little too much with his hands and not enough with his feet, which a coach will tell you that's, you want to play well at corner, play with your feet.
Sure.
So, but those are correctable things. That's not a speed and athleticism question. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a discipline thing. So that's what good coaching works out in players. So I think we're going to see, and no one's talking about Ja'Corian Bennett. Everyone's talking about what we didn't do in the draft in terms of corner, especially the folks that wanted us to take Terry Arnold or Quinyon Mitchell. But maybe, just maybe, the coaches know something we don't know. And maybe, just maybe, like last year, when everyone bitched that we didn't do anything at linebacker, all of a sudden, oh, I guess we got a pretty decent linebacker room because Bob Spillane's not too bad.
Right.
You know what I mean? Divine Diablo's playing pretty freaking good. Like, all of a sudden, like, those big questions that we had in the offseason, remember all that bitching and griping and complaining? I haven't heard one person complain about linebacker this year.
Nope.
Okay, so that's why I feel like we're in the same position, is that it's like, all right, well, maybe they know they've got something already in Ja'Corian Bennett, so he is going to be able to compete. Mm-hmm. We also, it's going to be interesting because we're going to see Brandon Faison come back because he had been a little banged up.
Yep.
So now he's going to come back healthy. I like him because he's big. So he's 6'2", so he was big
100%.
Enough. Big enough to keep up, you know, with bigger wideouts, but then also capable of kicking in and maybe covering a guy like Travis Kelce or something to that effect. So, which Lord knows we got to learn how to do. So, anyways, I think that's going to be a very interesting look to see where it goes in OTAs. Now, granted, I fully understand, and I think most people would agree, that it's the underwear Olympics out there. Like,
sure,
you're not going to really know until they start getting in pads where this stuff is going to break out.
Sure.
But what I do want to see is like, who starts getting on the radar. Because that, to me, like, that's what we can take away as fans, is that, like, who are the coaches investing their time with?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, right now, okay, I'm going to flip it to you. Right now, the biggest position I think that's going to get the most attention is going to be quarterback.
Well, sure.
And so, you know, Pierce came out and said, obviously, that Aiden earned the right to the job, and he's going to get the snaps, but that doesn't guarantee him a starting spot. We're going to find out real quick how serious a contention Gardner Minshew is going to be to Aiden O'Connor. Like, we're going to find out fast. We might even find out before pads.
If he starts. I think so, too.
You think so, too?
Yeah.
So tell me, all right, so talk on that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I think, you know, I love that Antonio Pierce has given the vote of confidence to Aiden O'Connell to start things off, you know, but it's going to be up to Aiden to do his thing. He's going to have to ball out, and he's going to have to ball out pretty quickly, you know, because I know that Gardner Minshew's hungry. He's ready for another opportunity. He wants that starting job. He proved to the league last year that he could still start in this league when he, you know, just about took the Colts to the playoffs. Last year, just kind of came up just short or whatever of that. But so, yeah, I mean, I think that battle is, you know, one that obviously everyone has circled, you know, as the one to watch, you know, for sure. But I'm going to keep it on the offensive side of the ball. I'm really interested to see what the running back room is going to look like.
Interesting.
It's
Do you think it's going to be full on committee?
I don't think so, man. I think you're going to have a couple of workhorse guys. That, you know, it might be a committee a little bit in that way. But, you know, I think you got right now, I think Zeus is going to be your hands down number one. I don't think there's any doubt of that. But I think outside of that, you have three guys in that room that can essentially do the same thing. You've got Alexander Mattison, you've got Amir Abdullah, and you've got Dylan Lobby. And you got three guys in there that are going to do the exact same thing as the other one. So who's gonna be the guy that everyone's going, ooh, who's that guy? Who's number 23? Oh, that's Dylan Lobby? You know, I mean, or whoever that is. I think one of those guys is probably going to be the odd man out. And I'm at this point, I'm not sure who it's going to be yet. If I were to guess, I would say that Amir Abdullah is probably going to be the one out. You know, and
well,
yes,
they just signed him back. Then why?
Okay. Well, they also just signed Alex Mattison too. I think one of them is going to be out.
That's
and
true.
I think
unless he's going to be there for teams,
and that might be the thing.
And that's the thing.
He might be a punt returner or something like that, where they keep him there. But like, you know,
because they've got the new rules now, or on kickoff even, because they got the new rules and the way that those lines are going to set up. They're saying that like running backs might end up being returners because they can read the gaps better.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That they're used to having a bunch of dudes lined up in front of them and have to read and pick their spots. And so that they're talking about, they're like running backs, that might be a thing. So that's a really good one.
Yeah, 100%. You know, to me, when I look at Amir as, you know, maybe the odd running back out is, you know, because it's the previous regime. You know, you look at a guy like you look at Alex Mattison, and that's Antonio Pierce brought him in. You know, in the same way they drafted Dylan Lobby. You know, stuff like, and I love Dylan Lobby, man.
A lot of people are stoked for this guy.
I'm really fired up for this guy because I mean, even just the, you know, you got the call or whatever the videos that they post after people get drafted. That guy was so freaking fired up to be a Raider.
Yeah.
You know, so you want guys like that in the building for sure. But yeah, no, I mean, just watching him play, because I think a lot of people are so excited about Dylan Lobby is because no one saw Dylan Lobby play anywhere.
That's true. Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Unless you lived in New Hampshire, you weren't watching Dylan Lobby play.
Yeah.
So a guy like that, I'm really excited to see. You know, but of course, obviously, everyone's going to be looking at that quarterback, and you know, I'm really excited. And if you do like quarterbacks and you like Gardner Minshew, you can head to our T Public page where we have our brand new Minshew Mania shirt. So you buy that, and you can get the T-shirts, you can get the coffee mugs, you can get the hoodies, you can get the posters, you can get all sorts of stuff, phone cases, all that kind of stuff. And all the money that we make off of that goes to the One Nation Foundation.
So speaking of Gardner Minshew and Minshew Mania.
Oh, okay.
Check this out. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
This is what's fascinating to me. You know how they're considering Trevor Lawrence getting an extension, right? Have you heard about this?
Yes.
And he's considering, and it's going to be a big one.
Oh, it's going to be a monster.
And this is something that I remember the first time we met Will, and we were talking to him about, because he was talking about how some linebackers are valued more than other linebackers and how they get more opportunities for longer depending on draft position. And I asked him a question. I'm like, why should that matter? And he's like, because it's just, it's an investment. So they want to give it more opportunities for that player to work out, or a guy like me that's undrafted signing, you know, short contracts, that we don't have that luxury of getting to the time.
Sure.
And so, but it's so fascinating to me, though, the opportunities, though. It's still, all that said, the opportunities that higher drafted players get strictly because they were drafted higher. So here you got Trevor Lawrence, who obviously was taking, he was number one overall, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So taking number one overall, like a very highly touted prospect, but yet, isn't that great? And I'm going to tell you, well, I shouldn't say that. He's pretty good. He's not, he's when fine. I say not that great, yeah. I mean in terms of the standard of a first round overall pick. But in terms of like just production, he's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Okay. Here is, we're going to compare Gardner Minshew and Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
And you tell me who you would rather have. One of them has 58 passing touchdowns. One of them's got 59.
Okay.
One of them's got 39. We'll just say player A and B. Player A has 58 touchdown passes, 39 interceptions, an 85 passer rating. And both these guys, by the way, have the same amount of starts.
Okay.
Player B has 59 passing touchdowns, 24 interceptions, and a 90 passer rating.
Well, you take that guy.
You take player B.
You take player B.
That's Gardner Minshew.
Come on.
Player A is freaking Trevor Lawrence.
There you go.
So if the Jaguars are actually considering giving him a multi-year extension, and Jaguar fans are thrilled about it,
yeah,
shouldn't we be dancing on freaking, like, cutting circles on the old dance floor, as the kids say,
yeah,
over us getting Gardner Minshew for $12 million?
Come on, dude.
Like, dude, it, that's why I think he's going to win out. That's, I mean, and listen, I root for Aiden, and I mean, I'll be behind whoever it is, man. Doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I'll be their biggest fan. But this is where I think Gardner, he's already proven, and he's not bad. Those are 59 touchdowns to 24 interceptions, and it's not like dude has been playing on freaking rock star football teams and surrounded by crazy weapons. And like a lot of the criticism that has been thrown at him for what happened last year, like, and even from our buddy Scott and Mo, they were talking about how, well, yeah, he had all this productivity, but he was in a Shane Steichen offense. And while that's fair, and no one's going to doubt Shane Steichen, you think anybody on the Indianapolis Colts offense is remotely good when it comes to weapons and comparatively to the Las Vegas Raiders? Who's one? Name me one player, stack up position by position in the skill positions, that you would rather have.
Yeah.
You want, who are you going to take over Brock Bowers, Davante Adams, and Jacoby Myers?
100%.
Who? You know what I'm saying?
No, like, nobody.
Nobody.
And so, give me Cobes over a guy like Michael Pittman or anything like that as far as production goes. So, yeah, I mean, this is leaps and bounds better than any team that Gardner Minshew's played for.
You
know,
absolutely.
Yeah, he was the backup for, you know, for Philadelphia or whatever for that.
Yeah, we're not counting that when he was
back. Don't count that because he wasn't playing.
Right.
You know, when it comes to an opportunity to play the game, you know, there's no one else
who
better.
Who did he have in Jacksonville?
I don't even know.
Was it like,
because it wasn't
Zay Jones back then or something?
No. It might have been.
Was it Zay that was there?
No, it wasn't Zay.
Who was the other wide receiver they had? They had a decent wide receiver.
The last Jaguars receiver I remember is Keenan McCardle.
Keenan McCardle. That's why I went with Fred Taylor.
Yeah, exactly. But it was, you know, a whole lot of, you know, just a whole lot of mid going on.
Yeah, exactly.
And the guy balled out and did big things, yeah, you know. And so, and then you put him on the Colts team. Yeah, they beat us last year, but, you know, I mean, but I think it came down to quarterback play. The end.
It
came down to quarterback play. So you put Gardner Minshew on last year's team, and that team's a playoff team. You know, no doubt about
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely, I don't doubt that.
So I'm with you, man. I think Raider Nation, because you know that when everyone saw Minshew's contract, they're like, oh my gosh, this is who's going to be our starting quarterback. But now you look at that guy and who's, yeah, probably going to be our starting quarterback. Now look at those numbers compared to what some of these other guys are going to get paid. You know, I mean, give me Gardner Minshew and all the extra money to get all the weapons than keeping Trevor Lawrence and, you know, and then having to get rid of everybody else.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know? Yeah, no, dude, I'm with you, man. I didn't understand it, but then when you see it in print, man, it's pretty wild. Pretty wild. But all right, any other big battles in there? I guess really the rest of it, I mean, again, you're not going to really find out anything here in OTAs, and I don't even know if, like, because, you know, we've got some, obviously, you know, questions at right tackle. I guess they are Munford, but again, with Wyman, though, you really got to be in pads, man, for to really start figuring some of this stuff out. But Munford, I know Raider Nation loves this guy. I mean, he's fine.
Yeah, he's fine.
I don't, you know, I mean,
I like his versatility. And, you know, and I love that, you know, but now you don't have to just love Thayer Munford for that, because they're bringing in all the guys.
All the guys are versatile.
Yeah. You know, they're all versatile. All of our, you know, DJ Glaze and JPJ, like, all these guys now can move up and down this entire line and play. So, you know, so yeah. So
even Anders Pete.
Absolutely.
Can play both. I know he didn't do nearly as well at one as he did the other, but where he was a Pro Bowler, but still, he can play guard or tackle, man. Like,
100%. And I love that signing. Some people probably have mixed emotions about that. I love the signing. I love that he's, you know, he's a big guy. He can move up and down the line a lot, and just that veteran presence.
It is to me, man. You got all these young guys in there.
Yep.
It's good to have a good veteran presence. I know we have Colton Miller already.
Yeah, you got Colton Miller, and you got Andre James, who's now, I think, probably considered a veteran kind of guy or whatever. But yeah, I mean, to fill that
role. The more leaders, the better.
The more leaders, the better, 100%. And, you know, and I kind of want to tag what you said about the corners there, because that's, I think we're going to do that. You know, I mean, yeah, I love that you highlighted Jack Bennett, because he's going to have to step up, because, you know, when you lose a guy in the locker room like Amik Robertson to free agency, you got to have a guy fill his shoes. And I think Jack Bennett's going to do that. So you're going to have Nate Hobbs and Jack Jones on the outside. Then, you know, hopefully you can see Ja'Corian Bennett jump in that slot. But I still think that
I think Hobbs wants to be in the slot. I think that's where they want him too.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So I think it's going to be, we'll see. If Ja'Corian Bennett jumps, he'll be your starter on the other side.
He definitely could. If he jumps, for sure. And then, but I still think they're going to bring in more veteran presence. I
agree.
I'm starting to lean in more and more on the idea of a Dory Jackson, bringing him in. You know, that's worked under Patrick Graham.
Speaking of veteran presence,
you know, stuff like that. I think that might be one of the good moves to make there.
What do you think? When does Jimmy's money kick in? June 6th?
It's like June 1st, I think.
June 1st?
I think it's June 1st. Okay. So
I think that's when that move's going to happen.
I think so, too.
Because what do we get, 24 back?
We get 24 back for that.
From Jimmy, yeah. Once that kicks in, dude, I think that's when we'll, that's when we'll
and
make
then,
that move.
And then, you know, the kind of the last one that I'm not really concerned with the battle, I'm just ready to see it cook and see it work, is freaking Michael Mayer and Brock Bowers. You know,
you hear
both of them in interviews talking about, you know, hey, well, what do you think about going to a team that's already got a tight end? And they ask Michael Mayer, well, what do you think about them bringing in a guy even though you were the guy? And he goes, look, Michael Mayer says, look, we can both do everything. This is going to be fun. This offense is going to be really, really good, guys. And, you know, and I take him at his word, because on paper, this shit looks like it just looks elite. It's going to be so much fun.
I hope we get a chance to interview both those guys.
Hello, Tight End University.
Hello, Tight End University. So we're going to give you one more little plug here, Raider Nation, as we get on out of here. Something really fun. We're going to have an opportunity to attend. We think it's not. We haven't received the paperwork yet, but we are standing a very strong possibility to attend Tight End University this year. It's put on by Travis Kelce, Greg Olson, and who's the other guy? There's three of them. Three big time tight ends.
Oh, man.
Oh, shoot. Anyways, there's three guys. Oh, darn it. Shame on me. Anyways, they organized this for current NFL tight ends and then high level prospect tight ends coming out of college. And it's attended by just about,
I mean, every tight
just
end
about
in the
every
league.
Tight end in the league will be there. And so that includes Michael Mayer and Brock Bowers, of course. We're hoping we're going to get an opportunity to not only meet those guys, but more importantly, get an opportunity to interview them. Because if we do attend Tight End University, it's going to be as media.
Hey,
we're gonna have media passes to this thing, and so we're either at a minimum we're gonna do a live broadcast from there, but we're hoping to have an opportunity to sit down and interview those guys. We know our buddy Compton for sure is gonna sit down with us.
Sure,
so we'll have a chance to interview Will again, which will always be fun. But stay tuned on that. We should have some news coming on that in the very, very near future. All right, Jeff, that's all I got. You got anything else?
That's all I got, man. We're almost back to the fan cave, so it's time to put this trip. To an end.
Appreciate you, Raider Nation. Thank you again for listening. Thank you again for your support of Raiders Fan Radio and the One Nation Foundation. And we will see you live on the next Wednesday show. I don't even know what date that is.
The 29th.
That is the 29th. So we will see you on the 29th on the YouTubes. That is youtube.com/Raiders Fan Radio at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. We thank you guys. We love you. And we'll see you later.
See you. Bye.
Goodbye. Good night, audio podcast listeners.
Goodbye.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.